We pray, Heavenly Father, we want to approach your throne of grace and mercy this morning with request that you influence our minds, Lord, by your word, and you open our minds to the word, Lord, that you have given us by the prophet, and help us in such a way that that word will come forth from his message to us for its intended use, Lord, which we know is to spur us on in the faith, to make us not just Christians, but doing Christians, Lord, accomplishing Christians, but only for your honor and glory, Lord, to be in your will. Father, we know there's a divine will. We know there's a permissive will. We understand these things, but we want your best this morning, and we want to be Christians who conduct themselves according to the word, from the life of the very word itself. So we want your help this morning, Lord, in this respect. You're able at this time, Father, because we know with you all things are possible. We've seen that. So now we stand upon it, Lord, what you've shown in this day. We believe you're going to help us to that end, which we have such great need of today, to transfer, Lord, whatever was given to us in this ministry into our own lives, and see it there as productive as it was in the prophet's life and the little positions we hold. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 16, the greatest battle ever fought. And it is said in Proverbs 16 and 32 that the man who rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. That's what it said, that better is he that rules his own spirit than he that takes a city. In other words, the greater display of power and authority is not of one controlling another, or even multitudes, but one that is one own self in control. Or one of self-control. A man controlling his spirit is a man of great and wonderful character. To control somebody else does not really signify character. Those who would control others must have character. That's why I'm beefing about the pulpit these days, and I've seen more than ever why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching, because I find too many ministers are arrogating themselves an authority that they positively do not have, and they are working against the very principles that God laid down in his church by using some of the things that Brother Branham said. If the pulpit does not have a man in control of his spirit, he has no right to be in control of others in the building. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. Now, we're all striving. There's nobody perfect, but there had better be a little better something produced. So a man controlling his spirit is a man of a great and wonderful character. The Bible admits that a great display of authority is a man who is authoritative in his own being and over his own being, not over somebody else's. Now recall that Brother Branham said the mind influences the spirit, which it does. Therefore, it is not just a matter of the spirit controlled, but the mind under control is even more important, for the spirit can in no wise be controlled except that the mind is controlled. So the question is, how does a man control his spirit? He's got to start by the mind. And with this thought in mind, we recall two statements Brother Branham made. One, he mentioned that Satan got to Eve's mind not by denying God or God's word, but by coloring it by one word. It took only one word to bring her under his anointing. One word off. Secondly, she made a mistake by stopping for a moment to listen to him. Thus, one word in one moment changed her life and all life. To get the picture of how she and we should act is to see Brother Branham's use of Luke 4 in the temptation of Christ by Satan on page 50, which we will go to later on. Jesus did not give Satan one moment of time to consider any proposition submitted to him, but simply used the word appropriately and cut Satan right off and sent him away defeated, with Christ going on to even greater victories. When Christ overcame temptation, the works of God became manifest in him. He began to do and to teach. Jesus did not give heed to Satan, and we do not need to give in to Satan. Though he gave in, we don't need to. She was fortified behind the word and fully armed to resist Satan's blandishments and change of the word. But Satan disarmed her by way of her mind. And that's where we left off last Sunday, on the bottom of page 41. And we'll just read that portion in there where Brother Branham goes to teaching on the full armor that we have in this hour to resist Satan, and not just resist, but to embattle ourselves against him and become victorious. All right. He says, God's soldiers are commanded to put on the full armor of God. Is that right? Now, if you want to write that scripture down, it's found in Ephesians 6:10 to 13. See, we read it a while ago. It's our text. All right. Now, this full armor of God you're looking at will also be what is productive in bringing forth the virtues in 2 Peter, the first chapter, which you already are aware of, so that you will notice that we are not just to fight problems concerning health and jobs and welfare and things like that, but also the very important problem, which is social, which is our own behavior and our attitudes toward others and how we really act and interreact with people in order to give praise to God. He says, notice, put on the full armor of God, and watch that word full. Let's go back just a minute. Let's just see what the full armor of God is. All right. It's to begin in verse 10. Now, I'm skipping a bit. It doesn't require any. It's just two sentences, and they're scattered. I don't want to teach you too long today, but I may have to because I've just one more message until I take my trips for the summer. You know what? You know why I'm doing this. I'll tell you. The other day I had a dream. I wasn't going to tell it, but it's just on my mind. I might as well do it. Now, what he's doing here, whether you recognize it or not, is he's going to give you these dreams and talk about them relative to paragraph 7 and 8 of page 41, which have to do with the full armor of God, not partial, but full armor of God, and not doing a job that you're not appointed to do. Now, you can have a lot of full armor, and we appreciate that, but you also have to know from God what you are in the body of Christ, and that's not difficult. Please don't become Latter Rain and charismatic, that you want someone to lay hands on you and tell you what part you are in the body of Christ. What you're doing right now is your part, period. Now, you may not like that, but I'm sorry, that's how this church is run. What you're doing right now is what you're supposed to do. Because believe me, if you weren't, there'd be terrible disharmony. We wouldn't be getting along. There'd be nothing accomplished as we see it accomplished and being accomplished. You're just fine. Just keep pressing in. That's all. So there is, in these dreams, to be understood, the bringing out of the full armor and your position so you do not intrude into a position that is not yours. Now, just keep that in mind as we go along, please. All right. Now, he starts out, and he said, here is my dream. I dreamed that I was fixing to cross a great river for mission work. But they said, hold it. Between that dream, I had another dream. So I want to tell you about it first. So you just know there's a dream coming about crossing a river for missionary work. In other words, he's going to make a trip. Something is coming up. He feels is of God. But before that, he suddenly remembers, I had another dream. Now remember, all this has to do with armor and position. Now, first, I was up there with my wife, wherever that was, I don't know. And how many of you ever knew George Smith, Second Smith here in town? George Smith, his boy is on the police force here. Poor George is an alcoholic now. But he was one of the best fighters. He was the one that gave me my training even before I went to the YMCA or anywhere. He used to train us, and he was fast, real fast, and only a welterweight, about 145 pounds, and he trained me. He used to stand up there, and he could take his fist, right fist like that, and hit me in the stomach and raise me right up against the wall, see, but it wouldn't bother me. He just had me trained till it wasn't anything but just training. Now, this man evidently had something that gave him an armor against the blow on the solar plexus, which if you just hit your fingers in, Wendy, I'm gone, paralyzed. So, all right, now there's something in here. I don't pretend to know it all, but we're supposed to look at it. Then I dreamed the other night, and I saw 6 seconds Smith. Now, it wasn't a vision, it was a dream. And I saw 6 seconds Smith with young fellows coming against him and arresting him. And that old man, I guess I'm 52 and he'd be about 58 or 60, there weren't any of those young guys who could touch him in any way. Now, he's still having something about position and armor, right? So there's something to do with here about age and young people. Okay. And watch the training he had. And Brother Bill is getting old now. He's 52. I only got 21 years on him at this time. So, of course, he'd be 78. And he just hold him on the floor. Just, you know, nothing to it. And I thought, that's strange. And I thought my wife's with me, and I said, that's strange. I said, you know what, meanie? He used to be my trainer. She said, I remember you telling me that. I said, yes, sir. With his good training, I won 15 professional fights, quit the business to preach the gospel. All right, and he's telling you right here, this Brother Branham is a trained soldier. And as Smith was his trainer and an original, see, and passed the fight game on to Brother Branham. Now, William Branham is becoming a navigator, and he is the first principal who will pass on to others what they need to know. See? Now, he won all of those fights, and now he's getting up in age, and they've got a young crop of men coming on, very charismatic, and they can't touch William Branham with a 10-foot pole altogether. So we're seeing a picture here of what we're looking at. I trust I'm getting this right for you. Just then it changed, and I was starting to cross some water. He said, first of all, it's a river, then he said, it's some water. I think, actually, it's more like the ocean, and it's going to Europe. I think this is repeated another place, and my thinking isn't wrong. it has to do with that trip. But when I was going by a power boat. And I looked over, and there sat two of my brethren sitting there in a canoe, ready to go with me in their canoe, and Bill's in a powerboat. I said, you can't do that, brethren. I must go alone. Now, we're getting down to one man. Remember that, one man. And a boatman came up, and he said, here's your boat. Now, it was a real white plastic canoe. I said, not that. He said, well, you can run up and down the shorelines, 50 miles an hour in this one. But I said, I got across that way, not this way. Well, get with those guys. I said, they're not boatmen. They don't know enough about that, though they're enthused. Might think they do, hope that they do, try to put on they do. They can't shoot that. They'll both drown out there, they just can't do it. I said, listen, I know more about boats than they do, like 6 seconds missing. I wouldn't try to shoot it with that, just that kind of material. If I wasn't well trained, you'd think I'd let somebody hit me in a solar plexus and line me up against the wall? These guys just think that they're fighters. They just think that they're trained. They just think they've got some kind of ministry. Now, they don't have the equipment to do it. They're not qualified. They don't have the boat, what have you. They're not seasoned. They're not navigators. I said, it's got to take a boat to cross that. I said, it'll take something greater than that. And I saw him look around to one of the brethren and said, are you boatmen? Are you boatmen? And the brethren said, yes. See? No, they weren't. I said, that's wrong. And the boatman came back and he said, tell you what you do. He said, they love you. They believe you. But if you try to cross in the powerboat, they'll try to fall in that canoe and they'll both die. See? They can't follow you. Now watch, the conversation was one way from Brother Branham saying this. Now the boatman is saying it back to him. What must they do? And this boatman on the dock said, you go back up there. You better leave this trip and what you got in mind or anything else at this point. You go back up there. There's one little storeroom in all this country, just one little storehouse, rather, and just lay in a supply, plenty of supplies, and they'll stay here. They'll stay here while you're gone, but you'll have to lay in supplies, or the evident answer is they won't stay. They'll go rattling off somewhere. Now, we're talking about the full armor, and part of the scripture is to say stand, having done all to stand, stand. And these people will be rambling around, getting into God's hair, so to speak, trying to do God's service apart from his will, taking something from the message they have no right to attempt to handle, try to get out there and do a service. There's no way they can do it. Now, the only way they can attempt to fall in position, well fortified to do the job, as Brother Branham was, is to stand still with the provisions that God has given them, which he is storing up for them, and they stay with it, and it stay with them, and they'll make out. This will take care of the armament. This will take care of the position. You follow what I'm saying? This is what I see in this message. You see otherwise, fine by me. Look, you see anything you want. This is what I see. This goes on tape and goes around the world. And I know I'm right. No problem. And I was just ordering all kinds of cabbages. I like cabbage. And turnips. And radishes. And you know they contain sulfur. Good for your constitution. Burn all the junk out of you. Vitalize your system. Nothing like the old spring tonic Ma gave us, and your mother's maybe too. Old granny molasses and sulfur. Ooh, man, that's a brimstone preparation. But you cure something, if not the pip-whips, it'll sure cure the goat. Here I was with all these good vegetables and things, piling them in there like that. And I woke up. I didn't know what it was, but I know now. That's why he started way back there. And when he said here, and I just skipped it, when he talked about the interpretation, he wasn't going to start any interpretation. He's just telling us he had an interpretation from a dream he was going to talk about. And it comes in at the time of the armaments and the position. Now, watch. I was just ordering all kinds of cabbage and turnips and radishes and things to pile them in there like that, and I woke up, and I didn't know what it was, but I know now. See, we're laying in the supplies, friends. Actually, you should say, I'm laying in the supplies, friends. This is a life of laying in supplies that you have to walk alone in order for me to leave the people well equipped and positioned. He alone could lay in the food, the word supply, as a one-man ministry. One man trained, one God training one man. He's supplying, and the supply will do the job. Now he's illustrating that only one person can do it, and he takes Leo Mercer, because Leo tried to follow Brother Branham, and he's finally destroyed in what he has done. He destroyed people with him, but I hold not my punches. It's right in Brother Branham's vision book. I saw it, I read it. Where Brother Branham said, leave them alone, they'll go into false doctrine and they will destroy themselves. So, all right. They can sue me or anything else they want. We just take it to court any day anybody wants. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. This illustration here, Leo had his own dream. There's a revelation to him to keep his nose out of the prophet's business. Let's read it. Leo, you remember the dream you had that time when you first came here? That's like the young man, see? About the pyramid. Brother Branham was on this pyramid, climbing right up into the sun, the great lake. Leo climbed behind him. When he got to the top where Brother Branham was way on beyond again. And he said, Leo, don't you try to get up here, because this is a position God has ordained for one man and nobody else can take it. Now, put that down to trickle down, and you see, it's also important to recognize proper ministry, like we want to recognize yours. Remember the dream you had when you first came here about the pyramid, and you thought you could come up in there, and I said, Leo, no man gets up here. God has to put a man up here. He said it was sovereign. You climbed every physical realm that could be climbed. I said, you can't come here, Leo. Go back down. Just tell the people that it comes from God. Vindication. Hit the vindication principle. You don't have a thing to do with the rest. See? If you're not qualified to handle the word, you don't handle it. Now, here we had a board. Every board member was up here showing you that they knew what was being said. They could understand what I'm teaching you from Brother Branham's message. They can follow you, but they don't handle the word. Now, that's over. You've got one man handling it now. That's Lloyd. If he's successful all the way, he will certainly be the elder. There's no two ways about it, because that's what he's training for now. Doing a good job. We got to watch these things carefully, because I would condemn you by allowing you or helping you to do things you are not supposed to be in. So we've cut the one phase out entirely. It's over. It's finished. I'm satisfied that we've got qualified men on the board, because I could be taken many times. I'm getting old, and I want you to know how to conduct yourselves, where you're going, how to do it. You will survive. You are being equipped, and I'm doing my best for you, which is very piddly. But I'm just Lee Vail, and I'm sorry about that. But what I'm teaching you is the Word of God. You don't need to worry about it. Don't worry about the man up here. You're going to get the proper food, because that is what I am supposed to do, and I will do it by the power of God. He said, go on back down. It's something you can... Now, he said, tell the people what comes from God. Now, he said, it's something you can't depend on. In other words, he's not saying it's something you can't depend on concerning vindication. Leo, is something you cannot depend on, which is yourself. So get out of it while you got a chance. He didn't do it. You got a bunch of people fooled that Brother Branham had ordained him to call them all in, and he knew the secrets of Brother Branham, and the rest were foolish virgin. He was wise virgin. Now, there's a brother I love dearly, Brother Batazzi. You met him right here in this church. He loves this word, but he was fooled for a while. Doesn't take him too terrible long to get over it, but then in the meantime, Leo got him into such a mess that later on the man's mind snapped. And with Harold Marconda praying day and night and helping him, Brother Batazzi is back to perfectly good health and not just a normal being. He's a very super normal being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful brother. But he went through hell because of these boys, what they did. See, they didn't use the Word of God. Therefore, the people were not fortified. They took a charlatan's word. That's why we take these messages word by word, and we'll continue to do so, except for the odd time, a little special thought. But Brother Brown's message is a million times better than mine. So I should stick with his. Now, talking along the line of his own personal vindicated ministry, and he the one minister, one major prophet at a time, and he the Elijah of this hour, moving to the fact of he giving us the word which is going to give us the armor, and we taking our position properly, because remember, God is himself is positioning, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, based on 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, watch what he says here. As good as brethren and sisters in my church, as good as the brothers and sisters are in my church, and everything, and as good as other churches are, and brethren everywhere. Now, this statement is very obtuse, scattered, and I can get only this one thing out of it. There are wonderful people in this world, But only one person has the food on the tapes. There is no one else. See? That's why the church has to hear the tapes today, and we preach, try to preach them word by word. Now, this, what he's saying, therefore is not only to Leo, but is going to everybody. And they're fine brethren out there. Like I told you, I met a man in California just after Brother Branham passed away. He's a precious brother. Fine old man of God. So when I talked to him about Brother Branham, well, Brother Vail, I love Brother Branham, but you see, I've had some visions too, and I know a few things. I thought, oh God, the older they are, the worse they get. What did he know compared to Brother Branham? Brother Branham's sneeze muffled in 8 wads of Kleenex. He is louder than if he thundered the biggest sneeze and he was Goliath. The man, look, they're lovely men. No one will argue that. No one will argue sincerity. You know, it's a long time ago, almost 45 years. I knew a guy in a certain town. I met him many, many times. And I never studied him to the extent where I knew he had a little dimple here, a little hole here or something. And not having seen him for 1 year, I walked up to a guy in Edmonton. And I called him by this guy's name. He was a dead ringer. I'm letting you know, brothers and sisters, none of us are so smart, you know. We know all the answers, got everything. When you come against a prophet who is completely primed and both primed and pumped by God, you are not dealing with a man, you're dealing with God. So I don't care what you got and what I got. We're tremendously fallible to the point of being ignoramuses, or ignoramus, whichever you want to call it. So Brother Branham here is throwing this out to everybody. Now, knowing that there are people of the Leo caliber, and we're talking a bit about it. Knowing what's out there is unbelieving. Because if you can be so close to it, make the tapes for it. Eat with it. Early sleep with it. Fish with it. Hunt with it. Be immersed with it. Hour after hour, as the prophet talked in motels, and I went to God, I'd only saved a few tapes, which we never made, that you could hear what I heard. There's nothing ever except Apostle Paul or somebody who could have sat and talked, as William Branham sat and talked. And you thought you saw maybe a couple things on the screen and heard a few things on tape. What went on in Brother Branham's life outside the church was so multitudinous as to be staggering. So, looking out there, if this was repudiated and sought to be utilized to the point of superseding a man's ministry and the word, what would be out there? Oh, brother, sister, you just kind of think of it. Now, what he's saying is this. I cannot keep away from the churches out there. Somebody says, well, why do you go with those people, those Trinitarians? Why, they hate oneness. The Trinitarians hate not the people, perhaps, who believe in oneness, but they hate the understanding of one God. They despise it. But they sure can't explain it. They just, oh, it's a mystery. And they got to lock themselves in with a mystery. I don't know and you don't know. It's like, why has a cow got 4 legs? Let me tell you, no, I don't know and you don't know, neither does the cow. That's exactly the Trinitarian dogma. They don't know and I don't know, nobody knows. So, but we believe it, hell do you. Why should you believe it? Especially this so-called scientific age. Why do you go with those Trinitarians, those others, and this and that, and the oneness in Jesus' name, and all the other things out there? Why do you mix with them all at all? Now, I said, they're mine. No matter what they've done, they're mine. They are my pulpit. Now, therefore, William Branham was warned by God not to make a name for himself or to start a church, but to attempt to call out a people for a bride whose headship is Christ. Now, that's why I preach the way I preach. There are times I've got to warn you that I do have a ministry. I am called. Other times I consistently warn you, you don't listen to me, and you don't. I've got no hold over you. I'm not interested. Number one, I'm not stupid. What would I do with you? I've got a bad enough time washing my own feet and washing my hair and taking care of myself, taking care of you. Who wants you? Christ wants you. And I want Christ to have you. And if I can do something for you by way of presenting you the Word of God that makes you and Christ more in an affinity and a unity, well, man alive, that's just plumb off of my back and onto his. And I even get credit for it. Brownie marks. So the philosophy of this pulpit is not another man's philosophy. It is my own as I strive in Christ. You're very valuable to me. Not your pocketbooks. I got enough from the outside. And I don't say that to hurt anybody. God has always taken care of me. And I'll do my part by this church. I have a ministry going out of here. I will do part of this building. Don't you worry. I'll put in more than any of you, many of you combined. Because the ministry stands here, it goes out from here. I'm not boasting, just telling you facts. See how we understand these things. We are going on with God through the prophet, brother, sister. We believe that. We believe that. We believe the pillar of fire is here leading us. So, all right, we're moving. People may not think we are, but you just stick with this word, child. Let me tell you something. You stick with it. You may have your problem. Don't worry, I got mine too. But it's all right. Now, he has a ministry. These people must be ministered to. They must be witnessed to, and he tells us to do the same thing, like he said to Leo here. Now, when Israel had done so much evil, now remember, this is Revelation 3:15. You are absolutely sour before God. Stink. You make him vomit. In your wretched rags. And I speak not to you people, but the scripture said to the whole church were. In your wretched rags, as a beggar, you hallucinate. As though you're rich, increased in goods, and have everything, and you've got nothing. Wretched, miserable, blind, like the dogs licking sores. That's all you've got. Now, that's the mixed multitude of the world church that Brother Branham compares to Moses' time when God, by Moses, was leading Israel out. When Israel had done so much evil, until God even told Moses. When they rebelled against the same thing as that. Against the same as that. And they said, who needs Moses? Now, come on. They'd seen the pillar of fire on Mount Sinai. They knew God dealing them. They saw the mighty works. They saw Jannes and Jambres come against it. They heard the pleading. They heard the teaching. They said, yeah, who needs it? What do you expect from puke? I could have used vomit. Regurgitated substance, I prefer puke. Because it stinks a little more than vomit. And I want you to know what God said in his word. The prophet used the word. I love it. All tables are full of it. And God said, separate yourself, Moses. I'll start a new movement with you. I'll make a new church. I'll make a new tribe. Moses threw himself in the way and said, before you take them, take me. Now they say, Brother Branham is very sentimental at this point now, and very maudlin, teary. And of course, he's trying to make himself like Moses. Hot dog. No matter what they've done, that's who I'm sent to. Or to whom I'm sent. He sends the light. Not to shine where there's light, but where there's darkness. Then if he's light, all else is darkness. If he alone is on the truth, all else is off the truth. There's where light belongs. You've got to get with the people. You've got to stand with them regardless. Right. So we need everything that God can give us by way of a ministry to get us out of this mess. their wrongdoings, Israel was wrong as wrong could be. They were so wrong till God gave them up, but Moses stood for them. I've always wondered how that ever came about. But it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses, see? We're all wrong. In other words, we're all sinners. We're right here in absolute error. Even those that are born again have erroneous doctrine. But that'll be corrected. Christ stood for all of us when we were in our sins. No matter how wrong they are, let's not disfellowship or disassociate ourselves with anything. Now notice, no matter how wrong they are, let's not make ourselves wrong by leaving them to the judgment of God. That's what he's saying. As long as we can win a soul, let's go to them. Be with them. As wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, you see, and try to win every soul that we can because they must come out. In other words, this is not a truly evangelical mission. This is an elect group that must come out of all the fishing expeditions. And all the fish, and all the Christians, born again or otherwise. Now, this is why he is storing up the food. This is a part of what the stored food does. Okay? The souls are now in prison. Even as in Noah's day. But Christ went to them and preached before they got in prison. And then he preached after they got in prison. So therefore this message, and even the evangelical substance message of Christ the Savior, must go forth at all times that men repent, be baptized, and then filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the greatest battle being fought. And we need an armor. We need to be armored by God. Armed by God. Now listen. Now this is what I'm saying this morning. Is storing food. Storing food so you'll have something to eat. You'll have something to feast upon. Get it on your tape. Sit in the cool of your room. Maybe when I'm long ways away, you'll still remember these things are true. Sit in your room and listen. See? And this is food. Storing it in the storehouse. I don't know where the trip is, but wherever it is, he knows where he's leading. I don't. I just follow. Now, this is in preparation to reading the scripture. He's telling you that he's the one man that's got what it takes. And if you try to come against him or this, you'll be pinned down helpless. But if you want to use it, you're free to use it and go out there and you'll be beneficial to those out there and you'll be happy with those in here. You'll be doing God the proper service. Now, from what we have heard, these scriptures are paragraph 8 and 9 of 44, which is the last page we just read. He dressed a bride with a sword. He armed us with the perfect word, the full armor, and the shield of faith over it all, which is all the revealed word, and this constitutes the growth. You have it birthed into you, and in embryo, and in potential, and waiting in the sun and lying before God and serving Him the best we can. We'll bring this full armor into being. Now notice, listen closely. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not just in Christ, but also to be warring Christians. Use what He gives you. Actually, put yourself in position so that He can use you by what He put in you. I want to talk a little bit about that someday on love. We're so mixed up, it's pitiable. Christ put His love in us so we could love Him. Then there ought to be in the marriage, which is typical on earth, the husband's love put in the wife's heart, and the wife's love put in the husband's heart. He'll have a good marriage. I want to say to you people sitting here, because some of you have made mistakes already. When you're young, you're sitting here, and marriage might not be too far up, but you remember my words, what I say this morning. Make sure your love is in her heart. She loves you desperately, and vice versa. Or don't you talk about getting married, or I'll lop your heads off. So I'm going to tell you, this church becomes strict on those things. You follow what I'm saying? Bring your children up with that admonition. We didn't do with ours. Too late, I'm smart. Too soon, I'm old. But I'm not so stupid that I can't tell you. And you make a stick. Because we got time down the road, let's make the best of it. Let's make everything count. It's worth it. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't take one word away or add one word. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What was his original wile? His first tactic, to track the mind. To attract and to attack. And remember, many attack is to attract. The plant that eats the little bugs. And little bugs fly in because they smell the honey and they see the pretty flower. The Venus detrup flies it up. Yes. Attract. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. He's wily. Attract your mind. Delude your mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, like shooting bullets, cutting knives, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against darkness. Now listen, they are all invisible, so that physical grappling is out. How can you wrestle the unseen? Can't do it. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I, but when the trees are bending low, the wind is passing by. These are all manifested in people. And since they're spiritual and deal with churchianity, so-called Christianity, you are looking at what the Word of God says concerning the church. Let me tell you, Satan did not go to Herod. He did not go to Pilate. He went to Christ. Now, he's not going to have to go to Governor Celeste. No. Nor whoever ministers in the state of Ohio. Or to Mr. Edwards, who is down there in Louisiana. I don't think he's wasting too much time on the president. See, they're not in this. Nah. No matter what they do to us doesn't matter at all, brother, sister. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against guns and those things at all. That's why communism has nothing to do with us, period. And Brother Branham will bring it out. It's the church. Did Jesus, was he told by the devil, listen, son, let me tell you something, because I'm an old man, you're just a kid. I will take you to the top of Herod's Senate and jump off the top of the Senate. He said, let's go to the temple and jump off. Let's go to the high pinnacle of the temple. That's why churches still got their spires on. You know, that's a pagan symbol. Pentecostals are loaded. Don't blame the Catholic Church. Funny, the Greek Orthodox got round balls on top of there. Well, hurry for the round balls. Maybe that's the pawn shop coming up. I was just kidding and talking silly. Our warfare is not with the visible, it's with the invisible. Then it takes the invisible within us to fight the invisible, which is the life released from the proper word that lies within us. Who rules the world? The devil. By right of forfeiture to Adam, certainly. Who's responsible for all these things going on, all these ungodly things going around here, these governments and so forth? It's the devil. The Bible said so. The devil controls the United States, controls Germany, controls every nation in the world. That's right, the Bible says that. I'm going to come in a few minutes, and we'll find out whether he does or not, whether every kingdom ever was and ever will be, until God sets up his kingdom. Until God said the king of the world will be controlled by the devil. It doesn't. I don't mean everybody in it is of the devil now. There's some good people holding office. That's right. Now remember, Satan took headship or control of man by changing God's word. There is only one word, God's word. Satan changed it as an angel of light. And so he does today. Satan, therefore, is the god of this world. All right. There's going to be one of these good brothers that's born again in government here to show a picture of Brother Organbright in this church. He's been a diplomat to about 5 different presidents. That's right. I met Brother Roe myself. Brother Roe is what it is, not Roe. Norwegian. He's deceased now. Very, very fine person. He'll be here, I think, about the second week in April. He loved Brother Branham. Wonderful man. He said he could speak in 8 different languages, I believe. When he received the Holy Ghost, he didn't have a language wherein he could talk to the Lord. Nothing was good enough. So the Lord just gave him one, and he said he could talk to God in that one. Gave him a new one he never practiced on. All right. That's right. I knew Brother Roe. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Sure. Cain rejected the truth and became the killer. Wherefore, now listen, you soldiers, before we start the prayer line. Take unto you the whole, W-H-O-L, the whole, not just part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand withstand in the evil day. All right, we all know the evil day. That's the day of the Lord coming of darkness and thick darkness and so on. It's a day that we read in over here in the book of Revelation, which we won't read right now. It's in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And it says, know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Peter said the same thing, perilous times shall come. False teachers. Now watch what they're like. Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters. Not like Moses, who didn't love himself and said, look, I'll die for the folk. Brother Branham took his stand with the people. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful and holy, so on. And verse 5, having a form of godness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, ever living, never able to come to the knowledge of truth, but as Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, they'll resist the truth. That's over in 2 Thessalonians, the last day message. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. Church, not the mafia, not the communists, the church. Absolutely. Now, it says here, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse,
evil men, even seducers, that's what they are, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things, but stand in the things that you've learned and have been assured of, that Paul said you were taught of Christ in Ephesians, the fourth chapter taught by Christ, that thou from a child hast known the Holy Scripture, and so on. All Scripture given for inspiration of God, but must be divided correctly. Okay, 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, you all know those verses, I don't have to read them. Alright. When perfect is come, when perfect is come, what do? You turn to 2 Peter, and you go to the first chapter, and you read verse 12, I believe it is. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance, to keep your nose right in this. These things, though you know them, and be established in the truth which is presently set before you in this epical season, which is the Word of God in this hour. Now, that's how you're going to be clothed. And you're going to stand. Stand there for having your loins. Listen to this, your loins. That's your middle part. That's actually the hips. By extension, it refers to procreation, the procreative area. Levi was on the loins of his great-great-grandfather Abraham. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. That's right. In other words, procreate, bring forth sinners out of their sins by the revealed message in this hour, because nothing else will do it. Or you will bring forth hybrids like Cain. You cannot impregnate with another gospel and bring forth a live servant of Christ. You can't do it. So therefore, make sure the word that you give to bring life is this word, that word and no other. Don't try to accommodate yourself. Eve, like a fool, did. She brought us all in bondage. Thank God there's redemption for her and for Adam. Stand with the theorem principle, the vindicated word. As Jesus said to God, thy word is truth. And remember, it came through Jesus. Having the breastplate of righteousness to do what is right. Got the word of God in you, doing what's right. The blessed breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate cover? The lungs and the heart. Let's just take a look at the heart. That's what the breastplate covers. And Brother Branham said the word's going to do something good for us. We go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Let's read what's in there naturally. Beginning at verse 16 to say verse what? 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would, as long as you listen to the flesh. Okay? But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's the law of sin and death. Do this, do that. See? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, sinfulness. What did Jesus say came out of the heart? Adulteries, fornication, idolatries, lasciviousness. What else? Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Brother, sister, let's not be naive any longer. Let's go to history. Will you please, if you haven't got a good history book, get some good history books on religion. And you will find that every priesthood in all Catholics, all Greek Orthodox, all Protestants, their ministries have produced this. Adultery. Show me the clergy in any church that's not full of it. Go Lord, tell me. Oh, they're behind the cloth, and they've got a gift into this. Shut up with that nonsense. Don't ever bring that to my attention. I'm sick and tired of preachers talking about me all the time. Well, you got to look beyond Lee's flesh and look at the gift. Hogwash. When have I lied to you? When have I seduced you? When have I taken your money? When have I got drunk or smoked? Led you into sin. I'm not perfect. When have I double-crossed you? I've been double-crossed many times. When have I gone to another man's pulpit and done aught but good to his church? Lied about anybody. Never have. I don't intend to by the grace of God. Let me tell you something. The pulpits are full of this. Read the record of the popes. Read it. They speak for God. My foot, they speak for God. This is what comes out of the heart that doesn't have the word in it. I'm not through yet. For in my last 40 minutes not gone, I'm going to tell you something in a little while. Personal experience I have with a certain man. This is because he turned down the word. Cain was a killer. Why did Catholics kill Protestants? There it is. Why did Protestants want to kill Catholics? There it is. Why does any man want to kill? There it is. Now, I'm not trying to out-God God. There's wrath coming, and I'm not going to have to stand here and plead, oh God, don't send the wrath. My job is to look up, my redemption draweth nigh, I will escape, but not the squeeze, whatever that comes to. Lord, haste the day. If we don't say it now, there'll be a day when we will say it, brother, sister. God said to Israel, and it came to pass, and so will it come to pass for this world. In the morning they'll say, would God it were night, and at night, would God it were morning. And I was through a little bit of that with the suffering I went through just with the disease in my blood, brother, sister. Don't you dare fool yourself, brother, sister. You're hiding. And you can be cloaked with anything but the word of Almighty God, deep down within the heart. I've preached it for all these years. I will preach it until fruit comes out. Because the prophet told me, and he told you categorically, that there is the right soil that's predestinated to the right seed that's fertilized, germatized. All it takes then is rain and sun. You can lie in the presence of the sun and wait on God. Something is going to happen. If it doesn't happen to me, it'll happen to you, some of you sitting here. You've got to be sold, lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker, live or die, sink or swim. This is it, or there's nothing to it. Let me tell you, brother, sister. Let me tell you flat. Get this flat. If that's the devil and not God, I have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I am finished. There is no hope for me. So, Brother Vail, you can repent. You've got to be crazy this morning. You're sick. You don't belong here. Go on home and get out of here while you got the chance. Don't let me waste my time on you, because you haven't heard a thing. Whether you want to know or not, you shot your wad. You don't believe it? It's your baby, not mine. I wrote the books for the jerk. It was of the devil. Thought it was God. I found scripture for him he delighted in. If William Branham is not there where he said he is, oh boy, I've gone. I haven't got a chance to repent, brother, sister. It says there's no repentance for me. Read your book. Envies, murder, and drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? In the Word. And where is the Word? It's in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There is no law against that. In other words, nothing can stop it. Right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Go anywhere, anytime, any place. Feet shod of the gospel. See, certainly. How are you going to get to the elect of God unless your feet are directed somehow by the elect gospel to get you to the elect? You got feet shod with this other junk, it'll get you where you belong. Take you right there every time. Now, some people got awful stubborn feet. That's okay, kid. I have bunions, fallen arches. I'm letting you know something. It's a little difficult at times. It's all right. You can win. Keep struggling. Keep practicing. One day the feet will straighten out. Don't worry. God will put wings on these feet. He'll help us. Above all, that means overall. Brother Branham doesn't know the Greek, but he hit it 100% in the head. It means there's a covering for everything. Take the shield of faith. That's the one that knocks off the darts. See, the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, this message applied and confessed. We can meet like David did in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 51, when he said, you come to me in the name of this and that and the other thing. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God. And he said, I'm going to take your head off your body, sure as you're alive. And he did it. Now David should have been scared spitless. He should have been scared plumb to death. Why, David is a tiny runt of a kid. That old bird, was he 13 feet tall or something? My Lord, he had a hand like a ham. Feet, like toboggans. Why, he said, you little stupid nincompoop, I'll pick you on my spear. And David said, hogwash, you will. I'm not David, because I just put the hogwash there. I'll take on so much. That's right. He did. Now, how are we going to use this helmet? What's it to do? It's for protection. What's a helmet made out of? Brass. Brass can't even be tempered. Hard, harder than iron. That's right. A brass headpiece, then, signifies the protection by the vindicated, unchangeable word. Right. I put that in there. That's what he's talking about. Surely. Where do you get your faith from? Word. Where do you get this inside stuff? The Word's a conduit to get the Spirit in here. How are you going to keep building up and building up till the life is controlled by God? Listen, brother, sister. We must consider this seriously and believe it and believe in our hearts and aim by faith toward it. It will not come by systematic work somehow in the flesh, but it will come by application of God's Word, believing it and doing what we can with it. In other words, using it where we're told to use it. The salvation, knowledge of knowing Him. Now, what is this? Knowing this, that my healing comes from God. My salvation comes from God. My spirit matches His Word, not the church's idea. The Word, there you are, covered over with the protection, the helmet of salvation or deliverance. Take that and then go marching forward. But now, that's what we're supposed to do. In other words, Brother Branham is telling us, Hebrews 13 is being translated into Mark 16, James 5, and whatsoever is necessary is being translated. Because you got faith, because of that, you know what's in here. He said the virtues are birthed into us. We look around, we say, well, boy, I sure am not too good at temperance. I guess I don't got it. That's a lie. That is a lie. And you're partaking of the devil's lie. I do have temperance. And I've got a good kind, too. And I'm proud of it, and I boast in it. I can sit back and wait. Most people can't. I've seen you people jump at things. So you're not equipped. I gotta wait. You better wait. Or get yourself another preacher. Go someplace else. Look, that's okay by me. Come on. I'm not going to try to hold anybody bondage. Because you got, I mean, if you got some zip and some gold, man, you go ahead. I ain't. I haven't got that. I'm sorry. I've waited 20 years for some answers. Some answers come just instantly. Some answers come when I'm standing here talking to you. Others, I'm still waiting on. I may never get it. I just do the best I can. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to notice, when I talk to Galatians 5, there's a man, I'll not mention his name. I could, I know him well. He's from Canada. He's Pentecostal. He was a Baptist. When he came to Baptist, his wife turned on him, and she turned the daughter on him. And she treated him like filth. And the daughter treated him like filth. He lived in the home with him. She never cooked, she never washed. She never attended him. She never lived as a wife to him. And taught the daughter until the man lived in a virtual hell. He came over every day and night, went to work every day, worked hard, supplied them all their needs. He went down the road as a Pentecostal, preaching, loving them, taking all manner of abuse from her or her relatives, anybody else. He lived like a dog. And she was as filthy and the daughter as anybody could be. But they're wonderful Baptist Christians. But he's Pentecostal. Never bad deny. Never said a cross word. Never did a dirty thing. Just loved them and took care of them day by day until they turned to Christ. Now that's wonderful. They became Pentecostal. That is a big step forward. That is a wonderful thing. Let me tell you about this man, though. He's a preacher. He saw Brother Branham with another brother. This man began discerning. All he could take was the gift. When it came time to take the word, he couldn't take the word. Then where is he and his wife and his daughter? Now you see why I teach love the way I do? I'm tremendously happy that the man did that. Brother Branham would weep over a man doing something like that. And as you've got a heart of stone and you're filled with the devil, you also would glorify God and be happy and say, thank God he's come this far. Then you wait for the next step. I remember years ago when I was with Brother Branham. There was a Roman Catholic man. He was a nice man. He was a good man. But he was lost in the doctrines of the church. He believed the priest could forgive him or intercede for him, which they can to a degree, but they can't do it. Christ does. And the church cannot save you. Being baptized doesn't do it. The man was a nice man. Restauranter, nice man. I knew him. He became a Mason. And Brother Branham highly commended him. I wasn't too happy. Well, I said, that's mighty fine, but I talked a bit about Christ. And Brother Bannon, afterward, didn't say a thing. We got it. He said, Lee, he said, you did wrong. He said, you shouldn't bother talking about the Lord. He said, that's for another time. You congratulate the man and realize what a tremendous step he took as a Roman Catholic, taught against the Masonic Lodge, to become a member. Now, was Brother Bannon saying, hey, Lee, that's the end of the trail? The man's fine now because he's a Mason. Hogwash. No, he made a step. Now what I'm trying to show you here, look. These men in Galatians 5 with the filth, they died in their filth. These people came from Baptist to Pentecostal under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But Janus and Jambres were anointed. Judas was anointed. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were anointed. These were anointings. But when the light struck for the revealed word, which you can't have Christ in the blood when you turn down the word. Come on, I can go through scripture and show you that time after place. I've done it. And my brother, sister, where did they stand? You see, they could be foolish virgin, right? They could be foolish virgin. I don't know. But I want to show you the point here. What we're driving at. We have to stand in this unique position. We didn't ask to be in this position. No one ever asked to be in the position. His kids, the boys, the three boys and their wives never asked for it. They got it because God had them in that place. Now, what did they do when the ark was being built? Well, listen, said the little boy and the little girls. You know, my dad, Noah, he's a nice old boy, but my God, he's crazier than a loon. You can tell the old boy, he, look, that business of talking to God in a pillar of fire. Oh, fat. You know, some little thing took place. Velikovsky, one of the world's smartest men, he's dead now. World's in collision. He tells you, it is absolutely true that the rivers of Egypt turned to blood. But he said, there was an eruption, and there was this white, this red clay in the air, and it made the land that way. And he said, certainly, he said, it was true that those 50 men, two in a row, were struck by a light, a power from heaven. He said, what it was? It was a comet, and we got the very marks on the earth now. So he said, oh, Noah. You know, he took this phenomenon here on the top of the hill and tried to make God, and now he's building this stupid ark. Do you think they said that? Oh, gosh. Those eight people, seven under Noah, they said, hey, nobody knows what rain is, but it's coming. Now, this ark's going to get us out of here. Oh, they said, listen, our scientists have said that insanity is not hereditary. Boy, have you guys been sucked in. Well, maybe yes. We're eating for the flood. I asked you a question. Who was glad who was in the ark? And who was unhappy who was outside the ark? Now listen, that's what the Bible says for this day, brother, sister. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm trying to bring us this point here because I'm laboring in my own soul to stand with vindication because I know it's going to get us somewhere. We have just begun to understand after 25 years. Maybe the old washerwoman with three tapes caught it a long time ago. I hope so. I haven't met any myself. How much time we got? Well, I was going to get to page 50. I'm four pages short, so we'll finish this by next Christmas. Not this Christmas, but the next Christmas. At least we'll be struggling to understand and to believe it and put it in practice. All right, Satan's army. Now watch. I got to hurry, but I've got to get to this. Satan's army brings diseases. That's what Satan is. He's a destroyer. Satan, the whole kingdom of Satan is sickness, death, and sorrow, and frustration, and worry. That's all of Satan. God is life and faith and joy and peace, just like we read over here. Now, there's two great forces that are coming together. All right, we can stop right there. There's two forces. God, we talked about, we will start having said, God's got his army battle line, and here, God, army, and Satan's army in battle. Okay, we'll start that next Wednesday. I'm sorry it takes so much time, but look, I just pray the Lord to help us. And he, like everything, he just overdoes it. Just give me all the help in the world. Say, before you go, though, we got a minute. I want to read something here. I was going to read just to let you know how things are moving. Don Shear gave it to me, and I put it in my Bible here. It's about the car Brother Branham saw that General Motors bought at Hughes Industry for. And it says here, a Stemple says GM to assist in traffic study. GM President Robert S. Stemple said yesterday General Motors will participate in experimental project Hughes Driver Information System in the Los Angeles area in 88 and 89. Speaking to American Association of Highway and Transportation Officials meeting in San Diego, Stemple said GM is joining four of the representatives of the private and public sector in the experiment. The project involves navigation systems which display a map on the instrument panel of the vehicle to illustrate vehicle location. The goal will be to link these navigation systems with such traffic information systems and message signs, ramp controls, aerial surveillance, Stemple said. In other words, it's on its way. How close are we? That's the last thing Brother Branham saw in the line of the mechanical. The next thing is complete domination by the church. Once you run government. So there you are. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know the signs of the times are closing in every hand. We realize that. We realize, Lord, the greatest fortification man ever had was that ark being built out there when the flood came. And now the great fortification against fire, brimstone, damnation, condemnation, Lord, is being built right now. Has been built, is in use right now, Lord, as we're putting on that great word. Oh, God, help us to be serious as we've never been serious before. Cut back our social life, Lord. Cut back everything in our life until we actually could appear morose to people, but lively and energetic in our actual spiritual experience, one toward another and toward the world. Lord, there must be something in here as there was in the life of Christ, in the life of Paul and William Branham, who had such a sobriety with it, Lord, and yet a gentleness and an understanding, a firmness, and yet, Lord, a great meekness. These things, Lord, we are longing for, that we might be in that image which, Lord, we know is here. And, Father God, we believe that this is it. We believe, Lord, and as we said today, and I couldn't say it, Lord, the way I wanted to say it out of my heart, with that conviction, Lord, whatever it would take, I wouldn't know. But I know, Lord, this one thing. If we are believing wrong, we have blasphemed you, O God. We really have. But whatever we're talking to today, and we're talking to the Lord God of William Branham, the Elijah of this hour, as we believe it. We're talking to you. And if you are not that one, then what can we say? We're worshiping you as a false god. So here we are. We're just standing here as a people. We're standing here as in the days of Noah. We're standing here believing that you are that God that appeared in the garden. You are that one that made Adam, that made Eve. You are that one, the tree of life. You are that one with Moses. You are the one with Paul. You are the one that was in Jesus, the body. You're here. We believe that you are that one. And it warms our heart to believe it. We're talking to you. And we believe that we are right because you have done it. It's something that we're looking at, that you are involved in, that we are the spectators. And we, by your grace, are taking what we are supposed to take on and refrain from taking anything else on. And to give anything away we shouldn't give away. And then to stand where you put us to stand. Lord, that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking to you to see it done because we can't do it unless you sober our minds. We're like the alcoholics out there who've gone so far that unless somebody does something, we'll just drink ourselves into further stupor until one day, lying out there, we're going to be gone. Lost, lost, lost. Lord, we're looking to you today. We're a desperate people in a desperate condition. We were wretched and miserable, naked, blind, and didn't even know it. And God, how can we know anything unless you do something for us and show us and help us moment by moment? Fill us with this word, O God, and fill us with the substance of the word. Let the word begin to crack open, Lord, like the good seed in the good ground and pour out its life. We pray that, Lord, so that we might be vessels, epistles rather known of all men. Lord, don't let one person this morning leave this building but having taken on some real definite armor as never before, graces and virtues, O God, as never before, so we can live and love. That's what the prophet said, marriage and divorce. He said, if you love your wife, you're content to live with her. If you go home, be happy with her and the children. God, that's exactly what we want to be in this place here. A happy people married to you and to each other by the grace of God. Happy as children of the Lord with Christ in the midst and glorifying your name. But standing against all the wiles of the devil together as one people. Even nature knows that. Oh, God, your people must know it too. Surely we know it, Lord. Surely, Father. Surely it's got to be. We plead with you this morning, Lord, to answer our prayer and make us one as never before. The transparency of the Holy Ghost of God in our midst as never before. We're asking these mercies. Let not one depart from your sick of us gospel this morning, Lord. If our spirits have come unto your spirit, Lord, and your spirit has come more and more in the church, until that sweet spirit is here in a way that we know that the gifts and things can be put aside, by your grace we do it. So there won't be one infirm person amongst us. And only, Lord, on the condition, as the prophet said, we want, Lord, to use our strength for you. Help us, O God, to know how to dedicate on every front, Lord, until every front is anointed for the purpose of the glory of God. We commend ourselves to you now, Lord. What else can we say? In the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.